News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So there was a few things that were said in that last segment, and it really goes down to principles. All right, it goes down to what do you believe at the core? If money comes into government, should government just be allowed to spend it? Or is money coming into government because they got it from the taxpayers, who then should have the benefit of it? And by the way, there will be some who are big government people who will tell you, well, if government did it, it was only for the benefit of the people. That's crap. So the reality is, when government gets money based upon a budget and then it has excess funds, it means it collected too much. Now, let me caveat that. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not trying to crawfish on what I just said. There are times, and I think it was Caleb who even said it, Caleb Crosby a moment ago even said it, there are times when things have been done well, things have been done right, the economy goes up, and things that are just in place already, like sales tax or payroll tax, there's an increase because more people are working and more people are spending, and that means a good economy, and I get it, more money came in. But the thing is this, when more money comes in than what was necessary to run the established functions that were budgeted for government, it does not mean government should do more government. That's the problem. That's the problem. Right now, what we're seeing is a mindset that says government needs more money. And if we get more money, it means we're profitable. You're not profitable. Government should be the ultimate nonprofit entity. There should not be, quote unquote, profit in government. And yet, too often what we see are folks that are campaigning saying, I just want you to know we passed the biggest education budget we've ever had. Well, great. Okay, so you spent more, is what you're telling me. And we're still ranked number 50. Or what about this? Well, we're going to put even more money into this function of government so you'll have more government working for you. Well, how about this? If you want to see an increase in the economy, cut some taxes. You want to see folks get happy? Cut some taxes. You want to see folks pleased with where things are going with their elected officials, give them back some of which they gave to you. That's an amazing opportunity. Now, that was state we talked about. So state, I was shocked when I saw this. I mean, when I first got elected in 2010, we went down there with the principle of reducing the size of government. And we did. We consolidated departments. We put in hiring freezes. We gave all that we could to restructuring much of what had been bloated over time. And then on top of all that, we downsized and we saved money. We had whole departments, including the legislature. When I was down there, we ran, many of us, including myself, ran on the idea of cutting our own pay. And I'll just be honest with you, this is not bragging, I'm just telling you, I was one of just a handful down there who didn't even take our full legislative paycheck for the first 4 years until we had cut our pay. Because we didn't like the fact that Democrats had given themselves a 65% pay raise just a year or two before I got elected. And we saw that as being wrong on the public dime. And that's the kind of attitude that has to come back. Because what we're seeing right now is an attitude of, well, look how much we spent on your behalf. Well, yeah. Why'd you do that? Maybe some of that should come back to the people. How about this? We're one of the only states in the nation, y'all. Listen to me when I say this is a big deal. We're one of the only states in the nation that taxes groceries. Did you ever think about that? You go look at the majority of states, and you will find that the grocery tax is a non-issue. It's a non-thing. At the very least, there are a few other states that don't charge main staples. But in Alabama, we have the highest available sales tax rate at the state level on everything you can buy that's edible, period. Which means that the least wealthy among us have to pay the same level of tax as everybody else just to buy milk and bread. Now, it's about, depending upon which estimate you look at, $365 million to $425 million a year comes in just on groceries, allegedly, towards the education budget. And yet, education had more money this year than it's ever had. We are in excess of $8 billion just in what we can appropriate, not including federal dollars that comes in on top of that, for education. But oh, don't ask them to give it away. Oh my gosh, what are you saying? What I'm saying is it's time to give some back. If you're getting record revenues, give something back. How about this? Phase out the grocery tax. That'd be awesome. Maybe do it over a period of 3 years, the same way you phased in the gas tax. Phase out the grocery tax. Wouldn't that be cool? And wouldn't that also make a difference in some people's lives? What if everything you went to the store to buy was 4% less? At a time of hyperinflation, when we're seeing 5%, 5 to 6% inflation right now, wouldn't it be great to know that you're paying 4 cents less on the dollar just for your bread and your milk? Well, that's the kind of thing we need people to start thinking about in Montgomery, but they keep refusing to do that. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't need to have any strings attached. The grocery tax idea came up multiple times while I was down there, and it was always a stringer. They wanted to raise taxes on the rich in order to get rid of the grocery tax. No, just do away with it. But that was also at a time we were operating in near deficits or barely getting out of the hole that had been created for us by the previous administrations. Now you're in a place where we have massive surpluses. Now there's no excuse. Just do it. You can do it. Now let's talk about federal spending right now. So here's something you ought to know. So we have a 17% increase in the size of government spending in Montgomery over the last 3 years. Now here's a number 17 for you in a different direction. This is actually a 2020 report from the Brookings Institute, not always known for being the most conservative organization, but nonetheless, they wrote a good report. I'm looking at it right now. I got it printed out, highlighted right here in paper. 17.9% of our GDP. Wow. Wow. Okay. The federal deficit is almost twice as large as that of was in the Great Recession in 2009. Our federal deficit is 17.9% of GDP last year. That's before the big spending in COVID. 17.9% of our gross domestic product at the federal government level. Wow. And the federal deficit now is twice as large as it was during the Great Recession of 2009. Here's another factoid for you on the federal side. The federal debt measured against the size of the economy is larger than at any time per capita than it was since the end of World War II, and it's still rising. How about this? Here's one that'll blow your mind. The U.S. government spends as much on interest on the combined budgets, as much on interest on its debt, as the combined budgets of the Departments of Commerce, Education, Energy, Department of Homeland Security, Housing and Urban Development, Interior, Justice, and State all rolled together. That we spend as much on interest on the debt as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 major departments in federal government. That's unreal. That means that just the interest on the debt alone could have funded a huge chunk of government. And it just keeps getting worse from there as you read this thing. You're like, okay, does anybody care? I mean, what in the heck, man? You guys are up there and you just continue to spend. And I get it. There's things to spend on. And I'll tell you, too, there are times when there's been very few times that I agree with deficit spending. One of those was as a soldier downrange when I was first in Baghdad, the story I told earlier when I had Yusuf, my bodyguard interpreter guy, with me. It was amazing to me that I was driving around in a time of IEDs and enemy strikes and ambushes in a soft-sided Humvee. I loved the fact that we began to spend big money to get armored vehicles to our troops, of which I was one when it came. That was a big deal. Deficit spending in a time of war, I get. Deficit spending in a time of peace with massive surpluses and an economy going well does not make sense. Deficits over the last 50 years, according to the Brookings Institute, have averaged just 3% of GDP, and yet right now they're 17% of GDP. Wow. Wow. Here's one. The U.S. government borrows trillions of dollars a year at very low interest rates on global financial markets, and they're saying it doesn't appear that it's going to wind up crowding out the private sector markets, but nonetheless, it continues to increase and without any signs of abatement. And then we have what's going on with COVID spending. Copper, you got clip 4 ready? I see you got it ready. You are on the ball, Ms. Copper. All right. I see you highlighted on the board for me. Okay, so listen, this thing lasts right at 2 minutes, and I think we got time for that. Let me play you a clip that describes in great detail some of the new trends in federal spending. Go ahead and play clip 4.
The Democrats point their finger at the Republicans. the Republicans point back at the Democrats. The truth is that the politicians of both parties have brought us to the edge of this financial cliff. They say they're spending all this money with the best of intentions. The trillions are needed to end hunger and reduce inequality, provide everyone with free health care, and save the planet from global warming. But there's no way around the simple math. You can't spend what you don't have. Not indefinitely. Debts have to be repaid. We've been sweeping this problem under the proverbial rug for decades, but now we're running out of rug. During the year of the COVID crisis, a Republican president, Donald Trump, approved a massive increase in government spending. His reasoning went like this: we shut down the economy, we have to help people out. Did he go too far? Well, maybe. But just about everyone agreed something had to be done. Then, Joe Biden, a Democrat president, entered the White House and called for $1.9 trillion in additional spending, even though $1 trillion of the previous COVID relief money had not yet been spent, and even though the economy was already well on the way to recovering. Then the new president quickly asked for another $1.1 trillion for infrastructure, which used to mean projects like roads, bridges, and airports, but now includes giveaways like electric car charging stations for Tesla owners. By the way, 19 Republican senators joined the Democrats. Nobody is blameless. But wait, that only turned out to be President Biden's opening bid. He put another $3.5 trillion in spending on the table for a whole slew of goodies. Free childcare, free community college, student loan forgiveness, expanded Medicare and Medicaid, vast subsidies for green technology, and on and on. Add all this extra spending and you arrive at $6 trillion. Yes, that's a six with 12 zeros after it. This is a level of spending we have never seen.
So $6 trillion in new spending, Republicans and Democrats. And I'll tell you, it's been interesting. Now, I don't know where it's going to go yet. You're seeing the tussle up there right now in D.C. trying to deal with the Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema Democrat holdouts. And thank God for them. They have been opposing this big spending measure. It's crushing Biden's soul right now because he can't get his agenda across the final finish line. But nonetheless, we've had two Democrats standing in the way of massive spending. Now, those two Democrats may agree to a lesser version of massive spending, but nonetheless, they have opposed and been the firewall for getting a massive level of spending passed. Out of that $6 trillion, a big chunk of it is still sitting there waiting to pass. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we've got to make sure that we have leadership in place that cares about fiscal matters. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break right now. This has been like an education for me. Getting ready for this segment has been something that's been beneficial to me, even though I'm what I consider to be a fiscal hawk when I was in Montgomery. And I chaired the committee. I literally chaired the committee on fiscal responsibility. And I vice-chaired the General Fund Budget Committee. Even still, when I see new documents like the one just put out by API that says that since I've been gone, they've increased government by 17%, I'm not even sure what's happening down there right now. And the federal government, wow, that's next level. All right, folks, spending. Hey, we're going to come back in a few minutes, wrap that section up, and then we're going to head into the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey folks, let me tell you about my friends at eTax Breaks. As long as we're talking about spending, let's talk about eTax Breaks. All right, so there's actually ways you can get money back from the government and that kind of thing. So eTaxBreaks.com, all right, that's a group of folks that I know. They've got like 23 years of experience at finding you money. How cool is that job? 23 years of finding you money you didn't know you even qualified for, and it's just for things you do as common sense to run your business. Things like, where did you place your actual business? Who did you hire? Did you keep your business open during the pandemic and keep your employees on the payroll and do all you could just to run it, right? Well, that and other things you may do thinking they're common sense actually may qualify you under one of the over 3,000 programs around the nation that gives out tax credits, tax incentives, grants, that kind of thing, just for running your business the common sense, good old wholesome way. And etaxbreaks.com, all they do is find you money, and they don't get paid unless they find it, but they're so good at it that just in July alone, they billed out over $7 million in found monies for their clients. Check them out. They got a special landing page just for our listeners, etaxbreaks.com/rightside. That's etaxbreaks.com/rightside. Okay, so listen, as I wrap this up, that was kind of a heavy topic, and I get it. We talked a lot about state spending. We talked about growth in government. We talked about the fact that basically when a government spends a buck, it's your buck they're spending. I mean, government does not function without revenue obtained from the people, right? It just doesn't. And truthfully, I get that. That's, you know, Jesus said, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's. But let me, at the risk of being toxically positive, Copper, remember toxic positivity?
That was yes.
So at the risk of being toxically positive, which is a liberal way of saying, you're trying too hard to be happy. No, I'm just looking at the bright side. A couple things I do want you to know, though. Good news about your state. First of all, Alabama is one of the most solvent states in the nation, truthfully. One of the most solvent states in the nation. We have a massive rainy day fund that's fueled by income received from offshore drilling and exploration in our Gulf. And you also, by the way, have one of the states that requires a balanced budget every year. Now, they may be spending more, but you haven't seen your budget cut like it used to be. Under the Democrats, you used to have a thing called proration. And when I ran for office the very first time, I talked a lot about proration. Proration basically means somewhere in the middle of the year, the governor who, you know, the appropriation comes from the legislature. The governor is the one who writes the checks in a sense. And the governor would have to cut the budget in halfway through the year or prorate the budget. And it would devastate things. And I used to always say, if you have to prorate the budget, it was never truly balanced in the first place. Alabama has a balanced budget amendment in our state constitution. And that's a healthy thing to have. And that's part of what keeps our spending somewhat in check. Listen, that's good news. All right, folks, coming up next, we've got the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I think you're going to like it. We're going to ping each other on some questions, see where we stand on the issues, and enjoy our time together. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.